Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Can you smell it? Let's play out baseball in the Kansas City atmosphere, baby. Less than 12 hours away. First pitch, 6:08. Josh Vernier on deck show, 5 o'clock. I can't wait. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Bob is in disbelief with this text. Dusty, aren't you in your mid-30s? LOL. Should stop worrying about getting lucky and settle down and start a family.
Who are you to tell somebody what to do?
I think I'm okay. I think I'm all right.
You live your life. Dusty will live his.
Yeah. No, as that was the bit for Jazz Chisholm, who said the Royals got lucky. We are now here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan here in Kansas City, your home for Kansas City sports. We are joined by Tim Kirkshen. Tim, how are you doing on this lovely Wednesday playoff sort of atmosphere day?
I'm well, fellas. It's good to be back in Kansas City. I'm 67 years old. I used to come here all the time for the playoffs. It was so cool, especially in the mid-80s, but it's great to be back, and great things ahead tonight. Should be tremendous fun.
How much will Jazz Chisholm's comments kind of, I don't want to say hurt him, but affect the team with saying that the Royals just got lucky the other night?
Okay, it's not going to affect Jazz Chisholm because he is a free spirit. He is an energy burst, and I'm sure he doesn't even regret saying that because this is how he plays, and he's a really good player. And I don't think it's going to affect the team either. I don't think the Yankees are going to go, oh my gosh, we've really upset the Royals. They already know how good the Royals are. So I just think it was a comment that he probably shouldn't have made, and I don't think it's going to have any big effect on this game when you have the Yankees being the Yankees and we're in the playoffs. So I think we just move on.
What is it about the playoffs that just kind of brings out that personality of every athlete? Like, for example, I know you don't need any, but Rodon strikes out the side, the tongue comes out. Salvador Perez hits a moon blast in New York, the tongue comes out. Bobby Witt Jr. gets called out on strikes. He's staring at the ref, showing a personality we hadn't seen before. Obviously, I don't need to paint the picture of what is the San Diego and Los Angeles Dodgers series. Boy, I feel like if we could get more of that in the regular season, man, we'd have a little bit more of an intrigue baseball sort of following.
Well, I think it's plenty good during the regular season also. Again, fellas, I grew up at a different time where right. You didn't stick out your tongue even if you hit a home run in a postseason game. And I'm all for personality, and I think that the playoffs changes everything in that the emotion and the energy that you feel during a playoff game, you're not even sure what you're doing. That's how great the level of intensity is. I hope we never lose that. I think we can lose some of it during the regular season, but we've asked our players to show personality, and they have, and they show it even more in the postseason, and for the most part, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I love it. I love the postseason atmosphere. I love the intensity of the postseason. Every single pitch matters, you know, in the postseason. And, Tim, I know we're in Kansas City, but, I mean, I wouldn't consider this a homer take. The Royals are just a better team than the Yankees right now. They've got better starting pitching, their bullpen's pitching better, and they're coming up clutch in clutch situations. I just don't see how the Yankees are able to rebound. I know it's 1-1, but I hate to say it, like, the Yankees are cooked, my man.
Well, I would disagree with that.
Okay, tell me why, though.
Here's why.
Okay.
The 2024 season has made absolutely no sense. And just when you think you understand what's going on, like the Yankees earlier this year were the best team in baseball, and then for a month and a half they were not good at all. The Mets were 9-19 in May, and now they might go to the league championship series. The Phillies were the best team in baseball for a while, and then for a month they were terrible. The Dodgers were the best team, and then they hit an amazing skid. The Padres got off to a bad start, and look at them now. The point is, just when you think you understand where this season is going, even in the postseason, the answer is you don't. And that's the ultimate beauty of the sport, especially the sport this year. I have never seen a more wide-open round of playoff teams like the ones we have this year. So if the Royals win the next two games, I wouldn't be surprised at all. If the Yankees win the next two, I wouldn't be surprised at all. No matter what happens from here in the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised at all. That is the beauty of the 2024 season.
And the Yankees, though, man, like, I look at Aaron Judge, and this may be hyperbole, and again, you mentioned you're 67, so you have, you know, I'm only 47, so you got a 20-year jump on me in this one. I don't remember a superstar athlete in any sport being less clutch in big moments than Aaron Judge.
Well, Mookie Betts, who's going to the Hall of Fame, also just finished an 0-for-22 stretch. And I think this, again, speaks to something that I talk about way too often. This is the hardest game in the world to play.
No doubt.
And great players do not always shine in this sport, whereas when LeBron James has a bad game, he gets 19.6 rebounds and 6 assists. That's a bad game for him. But in baseball, when your timing is off by just a little bit, when your mind is off just a little bit, you can go through an 0-for-16 like Aaron Judge did. But I just warn you, for a guy who just had an OPS way over 1,000 and is going to win the MVP unanimously, do not underestimate what Aaron Judge might do. Is he in a slump right now? Absolutely. Can he come out of it in one swing? Absolutely.
Tim, I want to bring this up to you because you mentioned that you watched the Royals in the 80s, and we have a discussion about it later in our show. Salvador Perez, do you think, and you're an outside mind, so maybe an unbiased opinion would be nice here, do you think Salvador Perez could ever surpass George Brett as the greatest Royal of all time?
No, he can't. And I love Salvador Perez, and I think he will be a Hall of Famer someday. But George Brett is the greatest Royal ever. And at this moment, there is not a close second. I mean, what we watched from George Brett in the mid-70s and through the 80s and into the 90s, he won a batting title in three different decades. I'm just not sure anyone's going to pass him. And let's not forget the way that George Brett played the game. He played the game the right way, so did Salvador Perez also. But I watched George Brett, and I think George Brett would hit 330, 350 today. That's how good he would be if he played today. But back then, he was a dominant player at a time when the game was played differently than today. But sorry, he's the greatest Royal ever. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, so I'll give you an easier one this time. When it's all said and done in 30 years and we're all long gone, is the Royal ranks all time George Brett, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, or is it George Brett, Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr.?
Well, Bobby Witt Jr. is off to an amazing start. As you guys know, he's the only shortstop with two 30-30 seasons in his career, and he did it in his first 3 years. So if you want me to look 30 years ahead, which is never a good idea because I'll be 97 then.
You'll be fine. You'll be still doing the same thing.
I would say that it would be George Brett, Bobby Witt, 1-2, but it could be Bobby Witt, George Brett, 1-2 in 30 years. That's how good Bobby Witt is. I think he's as athletic and as exciting a player as there is in the game today. It is breathtaking to watch him play. But again, just to repeat, the reason baseball is the greatest game is that Bobby Witt is 0-for-10 in the series.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried for one second about Bobby Witt. He could go 4-for-5 tonight with 3 stolen bases and make 2 tremendous defensive plays. This is the nature of the game, and it is why the game is so great and so beautiful.
Tim Kirkjian with us here on 96.5 The Fan, and in tonight's matchup is Lugo versus Clark Schmidt. I know Clark doesn't have a huge, you know, resume for this year, only 90-some innings pitched, but he limits, you know, he doesn't give up many runs. I think 11 of his last 16 starts, he's only given up 2 runs or something like that. Seth Lugo doesn't give any runs. Is this like a race to 3? The first team to score 3 is going to win this thing?
Yeah, I like the pitching matchup for both teams tonight. Seth Lugo, I've just spent 4 days with the Royals and a couple days last week with them. He is the chess master, is what they call him. His understanding of the art of pitching is virtually unmatched in today's game. So he's going to go out there, and he's got 9 pitches that he can throw for strike. He is an outlier in so many ways. And he has such a great understanding about pitching. So I expect him to be really good tonight. Clark Schmidt was arguably the best Yankee starting pitcher at one point this year until he got hurt. He is a wildly confident kid who you send him out there and he really thinks he's going to throw a shutout every time he goes out there. So I think this is going to be a great pitching matchup tonight, and I would agree it will be a low-scoring game. But to repeat, if it's 10-9 tonight,
right,
no one should be surprised by anything that happens tonight or during October in baseball.
Well, Tim, we appreciate the time, and we'll see which team gets lucky tonight and goes up 2-1 in this ALDS that reminds us of 1970 and early 80s all over again.
All right, well, enjoy, fellas. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Tim Kirkjian there joining us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. We'll have Matt Quattrero at 9 o'clock. We'll ask him the last time he got lucky, or maybe I'll hold on to that question and put it in my back pocket.
And we'll see, you know, luck versus skill and all that kind of stuff. Like, this game isn't, I'm ready now. It's a 6 o'clock start, and we get started kind of an hour earlier tonight because I am ready for this game. I think it's going to be an intriguing ball game. I don't know that Aaron Judge is going to step up and do anything. I don't know that Bobby Witt's going to. I think it's all going to be determined by the two guys on the mound, whether it's Clark Schmidt or whether it's Seth Lugo and what bullpen takes over. I think it's all coming down to the pitching in this series, and the team that can squeak out 1, 2, 3 runs max, I think, is the team that wins. 10-9 final, probably.
There you go. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. We'll dive more into this Royals playoff home game, plus talk a little bit of cheese for you as well. Royals start the night off tonight. 6:08, first pitch. Josh Verner, 5 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Fellas, it's Dusty Likens here, and I'm talking to you because, believe it or not, the holiday season is almost there, and you have got to get that lovely lady in your life something. You got to think about what you're going to get her. Let me give you a little bit of a jump head start here. Go to my friends at Diamonds Direct. They're always on people's wish lists. You know where you can go with friendly people that will consult you in a great way. That is the way to do it. Get ahead of everyone else who's on that same process as you. Go see the wonderful people at Diamonds Direct. They're patient. They're kind. They're willing to help. They're willing to lean you in the right direction for whatever you may be looking for that special moment, for that special someone. So whether you're planning that big proposal this holiday or you're looking to treat yourself or someone special in your life with the perfect gift, drop by Diamonds Direct, tell them Dusty Likens sent you, and get ready to experience jewelry shopping done right. So for the best quality, price, and shopping experience, there is no better choice than my people over at Diamonds Direct. Again, tell them Dusty Likens sent you from 96.5 The Fan.
Tony Cueto. Johnny Cueto, welcome to Kansas City. Johnny Baseball, won't you help us win the World Series? El Rey Dominicano, Los Feliz
Cumpleaños. Wow. You don't remember this banger from 14 and 15?
Wow, that is...
Johnny Cueto.
Fiesta.
I used to always think they were saying Johnny Cueto, like cheese.
Ooh, Johnny Cueto. That would be queso.
Well, in your opinion.
Well, I mean, yours is the Dominique Foxworth opinion. Mine is reality, but you know.
Cueto. It's a hard U.
Oh, God.
Johnny Cueto.
Let's get to the damn game. Let's go.
Johnny Cueto. Yeah. Are you going to be able to keep it calm? Cool, cool. What time are you going to go out there?
I don't know. I got to, you know, do the kid thing and pick a couple of them up from school, you know.
I assume you're going to leave. I'll set the over-under at 4:15.
I was thinking about that today. Somewhere probably 20 minutes from the stadium. About 20 minutes or so, depending on traffic and all that kind of stuff.
So you can settle in about 5, maybe have a soda and then start walking, or will you walk in immediately and get the whole...
It's baseball. Yeah. Tailgating. I wish there were bars. I'd go to the bars and hang out, but that's an argument for another day. But today's
inside.
But today's the day where you have that entertainment district outside the stadium and everybody's having a good time. People get there early, they're celebrating, they're having fun. And
even people that aren't going to the game.
Even the people aren't going to the game. Yep. You're in that downtown atmosphere.
I'd be down there.
Yeah, I've done that before, too. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to go to the game. Yeah.
Right after the meet and greet, I'd be down there.
Yes, sir.
Getting ready. But we don't have that opportunity. We got a guy that's going to sit with a grill and, you know, complain that he doesn't want the stadium downtown where we could have a lot of fun and have an entertainment district. But these are the days where you want that kind of atmosphere. You want that kind of electricity. I promise you, in San Diego last night, where that stadium is, have either of you guys been to a ball game in San Diego before?
Nope. I've never been to San Diego.
It is a wild and crazy scene. It's right there by the gas lamp district and gaslight district, whatever they call it. And everybody's having a good time. There's bars, there's restaurants, there's fun. People who aren't even going to the game are down there, like you mentioned, just to be part of that atmosphere. And that really is the sad thing about where the baseball stadium is located right now, is that you can't be part of that atmosphere just to be part of that atmosphere. Like some people, obviously, most people, it's hard to get tickets to these events. But if you have a downtown stadium, then you have the opportunity to still be part of it, hanging out at the bars and watching the games. All those bars would be crowded. Everybody would be there. It would be like we had at Jefferson's the other night. There's something about watching a game that's a big game with people, whether it's in the stadium or not. Being outside that ballpark, having that entertainment district, having the ability to hang out with fellow fans and do that. Why do you think people go to Power and Light to watch these games? Because they want to be with people. Mm. Imagine having that ballpark district outside the stadium where people could go and be close to the stadium and be part of what's going on. We don't have that luxury right now. Frank White, thank you.
Part of the discussion today on our show from our Twitter poll on the Fan 965. Our question today is, who will get the louder pop from the crowd tonight during their first at-bat? Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. After 328 votes thus far, Salvador Perez has a commanding lead at 57.6% over 42.4%.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're going to be really able to tell the difference, though, because I think everybody's going to get cheered and celebrated tonight, right?
Oh, you'll tell a difference.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Have
like
you ever
Salvi
been to a
Bobby?
Wrestling event?
No.
Okay. Well, that's where the term pop comes from, right? So I was fortunate a couple times to go when there were some big superstars and, like, you know, Stone Cold would come out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was massive. I mean, when the glass broke, everybody in their mind, I mean, people that couldn't stand tried.
Mm-hmm.
And when The Rock came out, it was big, but it wasn't broken glass Stone Cold big.
Right.
And I mean, again, like tonight, we'll hear a Salvi chant. I guarantee it.
I think we're going to hear,
we'll hear a Bobby chant too. Yeah. Or we'll hear an MVP chant because obviously, according to Tim Kirkshin, the unanimous MVP, Aaron Judge, will be in the house tonight, which is.
How about that comment? I wanted to follow up, and I didn't get to.
Unanimous
MVP comment.
Little dig.
I mean, let's see. Aaron,
slight dig.
Great. Be the MVP of the regular season, Aaron, while Bobby's playing in the ALCS. You can have your MVP trophy because you did it with no pressure. You did it with nobody caring. You did it in the regular season of baseball. And then when it comes to the postseason, you're the LVP, least valuable player. Mm. They should really give out that award. We're giving out MVP awards. Let's give out the LVP because Aaron Judge is an LVP when it comes to postseason. That was a little East Coast bias right there by Tim Kirkchin. They're trying to push this Yankee team forward, right? I understand it's good for business, but let's be honest here. Aaron Judge is the LVP when it comes to postseason baseball, and he may be the LVP when it comes to postseason sports in general in the United States. And I'm not saying it hyperbole. I've never seen a big-time star fail so bad in the postseason like Aaron Judge.
It's fun because all of that is, I mean, we're, what, two games into this playoff series against the Yankees, and there are so many things to get excited about in this game tonight. Obviously, I think Jazz Chisholm is going to get absolutely booed from here to wherever you can think the furthest place is. East L.A.,
I got a text from a family member that was at the game on Tuesday when the Jazz, and they said to me that we got to start the Boo Jazz movement because in games 1 and 2, Yankee fans were trying to get an F. Bobby chant going.
Mm.
at Yankee Stadium. It did not work out so good. It did not work out so good, I guess. I mean, the series did split. But we do need to boo Jazz, right? Like, we do need to get the boo Jazz movement going, because if you're going to start an F Bobby chant at Yankee Stadium, well, then maybe we should start an F Jazz chant here in Kansas City. Not for the music, but you know, for the player.
And what I'm most intrigued about tonight outside of the game, like if you can, you know, dissect what tonight is for this town, is I want to see a lot of what I know I've seen here before, which is Sundays at Arrowhead. Like I've been to games where I've stood next to friends, family members, where they've had a conversation with me for 2 minutes and I had no idea. And then after the cheers went down, they're like, yeah, so what'd you think about that? And I'm like, think about what? They're like, oh, I just told you about what we're going to do after the game. I was like, I didn't hear you because it's so damn loud.
Right.
Last night, watching the Padres-Dodgers game and seeing Walker Buehler get a pitch clock violation because he couldn't hear his pitch comm is something that I want to see the Kauffman crowd do tonight, because they have a chance to be that crowd. They can be better than San Diego. And I know San Diego is pining and thirsty and ready for a World Series championship. Oh, they don't have one. They're one of five teams that don't have one. And if there's one thing that we remember from 9 years ago, which is the last time the Royals have had a playoff game at home, we remember there was one thing. It was blue, it was ruckus, and it was loud. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was loud, man. And that crowd bleeds over from the stadium that will be in the same parking lot tonight. And I know those people know how to get there. And I understand that, you know, there are certain things that can ignite a crowd even louder. I would love nothing more than in the top of the, or the bottom of the first inning, Bobby Witt Jr. hits a 2-run bomb to put the Royals up 2-0. That place will shake. That place will break. They'll have no choice but to build a new stadium, because Bobby Witt Jr. would have crumbled it down, because if he hits a home run and snaps this over 10 and all these strikeouts, that place will go absolutely berserk. I want to make Clark Schmidt feel like he is back in Little League throwing a baseball for the first time, and it's his first time out of kids pitch or machine pitch, and he has no idea where his mechanics are. I know that crowd can get there. I know people will say, oh, yeah, get the crowd hyped up at 8:30 in the morning. Trust me, playoff baseball crowds are just as great as having a great hitter in your lineup, because if that man can't hear his pitch comm, which is a new rule, thanks Houston Astros, if that stadium is rocking and New York's like, oh, God, what did we do? Wake up a sleeping giant? You might have, because I don't think the Jazz Chisholm comment's getting lucky or shot at the Royals. I think it's at the fan base, and I think that's who deserves to take that comment and run with it. I don't think the Royals really care. I don't think they mind that he said it. They might use it as bulletin board material, but what's going to really get the Royals juiced up is the crowd tonight causing problems with the Yankees and their being the visiting team and how much everybody can't stand them. Plus, you're going to have 15 from the Chiefs there helping you cheer on. It's going to be a different type of crowd tonight, and I just want to see that place absolutely erupt.
So if their pitch comm goes down, then our pitch comm has to go down too,
right?
Yeah, I think they take them both away.
That's not if you can't hear it.
Oh, if you can't hear it.
He couldn't hear it.
He couldn't hear it, right.
He had to put his glove over his hat like you see quarterbacks put over their ear holes.
And we know baseball players dealing with adversity is not the easiest thing in the world.
Pitchers are already
weird. And pitchers are already strange like that. Like 2 years ago, they didn't want the pitch comm. Now they have it, and they can't look at somebody's fingers calling it.
Yeah, he just literally could not hear it.
Yeah, well, that sucks for them. Like, I don't know what to tell you about that, right? Like, I honestly don't. I hope you get pitch clock violations tonight. But, you know, yeah, I think the crowd obviously is going to be loud. And that's why it's important to strike early. And that's why I think having home field advantage at times isn't the best in baseball, because you have the opportunity when you're up first to strike early, to get some early runs, and then to really put the home team back on its heels. The last thing you want to do is see, you know, Seth Lugo go out there and give up 2 runs in the first inning. You're like, oh my God, that's not a good way to start the game. And then you're playing from behind, and then the pressure, that's when the pressure really mounts. And we were kind of talking about it in break about like being at a baseball playoff game versus a football playoff game. And the intensity at a baseball playoff game is much more than it is at an NFL playoff game. And I know you think you live on every play in the NFL, but in the NFL, there's opportunity to recover from a mistake. There's an opportunity to recover from an error. In baseball, in the postseason, if you make a mistake or you make an error, there's really not an opportunity for you to recover from that. And that's why everything in the postseason in baseball is magnified and turned up a notch, because the first team that blinks is going to be the team that loses. In the NFL, it really doesn't work that way. I mean, we saw the Chiefs down 24-0 in a playoff game, and they came back and won. We saw them down 10-0 the following week. They came back and won. We saw them down 10-0 the week after that. They came back and won, right? We saw them down with 13 seconds to go. They came back and tied the game, right? Like, in the NFL, you're excited. It's fun. Every play doesn't really matter. In baseball, every single pitch matters, and you get that sense from the crowd. The crowds at a postseason baseball game are much more intense and much more into it than they are at an NFL game. And I think there's more sober people in the crowd at a baseball game, too.
Yeah.
But I just think in baseball, man, you don't have the luxury of falling behind and having to fight back. It's just too hard to do that.
Don't forget today at 10 a.m. after the show, myself, Bob Fesco, and Mac Morey will all be in the parking lot giving away 100 playoff-themed T-shirts at our station's parking lot, 7,000 Squibb Road.
That's right.
Thanks to our friends at DM Injury Law, we have T-shirts to give to you. So if you're like some people I know, they're like, man, I don't have a whole lot of updated Royals gear. Well, come by 7,000 Squibb Road. Pack your car full of people, and we'll get you hooked up with a T-shirt from our friends at DM Injury Law. Mac, I want to ask you this because you're kind of on the same level as me when I think you think rationally. I know Bob is also there because we had this conversation off the air. Do you think there's a better atmosphere for playoff football or playoff baseball?
Whew, that's so hard.
Atmosphere-wise, is baseball. I don't even think it's a question. I mean, you
they're very different.
Look at these stadiums. Everybody's waving a towel. Everybody's fired up. Everybody's cheering. Like, strike one when you're the home team, everybody's cheering. Everybody's screaming. Mm-hmm. And you don't stop. You're cheering on every single pitch. And the up and down of the emotion of a baseball playoff game, to me, makes that atmosphere better than a football game.
So maybe this is more of an individual question. Do you get more excited for playoff baseball or playoff football?
It's a different kind of excitement. I would say I'm ready to like run through a brick wall for playoff football and fight someone. With playoff baseball, like, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm coiled up in the fetal position. I'm nervous. My stomach hurts after every pitch.
Because you want it.
Because I want it, man. I want it bad.
Or is it because it's just like, you know, you're that typical Kansas City fan. You think the next shoe's going to drop and you're afraid.
I mean,
and that's why you have that feeling going into a baseball
playoff. We haven't seen this in 9 years. That's why I embody all of it. I'm like, I don't know when it's going to happen again. Like, I'll be open and honest. I took 14 and 15 for granted. I thought they were going to put together
you should have been listening then, Dusty, when I told you not to take it for granted.
Right. But I mean, like, not to a point of like, oh, they'll be this way for the next 10 years, but I thought it was going to be longer than two.
No.
16 was decent. 17, it was over.
It was done.
Luckily, Mahomes comes along and kind of patches all that up.
Right.
But like, I still would like watch the Chiefs and be like, could you imagine if like they were both good? And now they are. And now I'm not letting myself get fooled again. And I'm like, dude, I'm watching every moment.
Yeah.
I'm double TVing it.
Oh, if you're taking the Chiefs for granted or any of it for granted right now, you're making a huge mistake, because as long as it's been 9 years, it seems like it was just yesterday. But then you start like they say when you're raising kids, the days are short, but the years are long, or the years are long, but the days are short, or the days are long and the years are short, whatever the case may be. You get where I'm going. It's been 9 years. Sometimes it feels like it's been 9 years, but sometimes it feels like it's just been yesterday.
Sure.
But then you go back and you look at 100 lost seasons, firing Dayton, firing Matheny, Ned retiring, all these guys that we knew in 14 and 15 departing because Glass didn't want to sign anybody. And like, so you get to this point where you look back and you go, oh my God, all this stuff happened, but it doesn't feel like it's been that long. Mm-hmm. But it has been that long. And that's why, and I say this for the Chiefs, that people all the time, almost once a week, do not take what we're watching for granted. Granted, and I know people are. There are arrogant sports fans out there who think now this is their birthright, and it's not your birthright to sit here and watch this. And that's why you have to enjoy every single minute of it. That's why it frustrates me when the Chiefs are sitting at 5-0 and people are like, well, I don't know, man. Like, they're just not going to be able to win without a wide receiver. Like, you're missing the big picture here. They're 5-0. They're going for a three-peat, and there's nobody right now in the NFL that can hold a candle to this organization. And that's the way you need to approach the Royals right now. Have that same type of mindset. This team is steamrolling right now. Nobody's going to touch the Royals. Enjoy every inning and enjoy every pitch, because as we know, like that, it's gone. And so you can't take sports for granted. My dad told me that in 1986, and I live by that today. Don't take this for granted. It doesn't happen every year. I'm like, okay, old man, whatever. And here we sit, and it's been 9 years since the Royals have played a postseason game at Kauffman Stadium. Do not take this time for granted. This is the greatest time of your life as a Kansas City sports fan. Enjoy every moment. Slow the game down. Slow those moments down so you can appreciate what's going on instead of just thinking it's always going to happen. Because it ain't.
I will say the city I wasn't here. I just moved to Nashville in 14 and 15, so I missed that playoff Kansas City atmosphere, and I haven't been
here.
Blame
your mom for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mom and dad, thank you guys. And I hadn't been here for all these Super Bowl runs. I had come back for games, and I go to games every year, and I get the vibe of the city. But I'll tell you what, the vibe of the city here for playoff baseball, and I guess you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like it's different. It's different than football to me. There is a different sort of energy that comes with playoff baseball.
And I think the reason is it's every day, you know, in baseball, it's middle of the week. You're not waiting till Sunday.
Yeah.
Games today, everybody's talking about
it. Game tomorrow again,
right? Then you have an off day and then potentially game five on Saturday, I guess.
But
it's one day break. But it's every day. Mm-hmm, every day. It's okay. We're getting closer. And people can sense it. And you're getting closer and closer and closer. And at the end of the day, and I don't know, Dusty, if you agree with this, this is still a baseball town. This is still a baseball town. And I think most cities really are baseball towns first. I mean, look at New York. You've got two football teams, three basketball teams, 17 hockey teams, and 45, you know, whatever other teams. But the Yankees are the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 team in that city. Like, and you look at Los Angeles, right? The big market of Los Angeles, the number one sports entity in that city, the LA Dodgers. The Philadelphia situation that's going on right now, the number one entity in that city are the Phillies, right? Baseball is still, I think, when you're winning, better than anything else you can have in your town because of the day-to-day nature of it and everybody living with it. And we were all raised playing it. We all have those dad memories and all that kind of stuff. Baseball is still at the core America's sport when your team is good. Now, when your team is bad, oh, God, you check out. It's useless, right? Like, you know, whatever city's got bad baseball right now, you check out. You don't pay attention. But when it's good, man, God, it's like that sweet nectar of the end zone that Mitch always talks about.
If I gave you the option, I gave you 25 rows up, 50-yard line, AFC championship game, right behind home plate, game 7, ALCS, what do you pick?
Oh, game 7, ALCS, not even close.
The AFC championship game, yeah. It's just the difference.
No, it's at ALCS, man.
Do you think tailgating affects people's opinion when it comes to football?
What do you mean by that?
Like, they know it's like an event.
It's
like
an event.
I think baseball people still tailgate. Like, I mean, I'll be there today. I'm probably going to get there pretty early to be with Cody and Alex and Vern. But, like, I think people will be out there and they'll have, like, beers and stuff like that. But I don't think you'll see, like, the majority of that's what people do. Like, Arrowhead, you know, they're...
No, everybody's tailgating. I think baseball is, again, it's a downtown sport. You want to show up, go out of work, you know, put your jersey over your shirt and tie, go into the game, hang out at a bar, do that kind
walk
of
around.
Stuff, walk around the city, you know, you feel all that livelihood. You know, I think football is obviously different because it's, you know exactly when it's going to be played. Everybody plans their fall out around it. You plan your tailgates, you get all that kind of stuff. Baseball in the fall just kind of happens, right? Oh, you win, we're playing again tomorrow. Sweet, see you tomorrow. And you just kind of do your thing. So I'll take ALCS Game 7 behind home plate over the AFC Championship game. And maybe it's because we've had a lot of those here in Kansas City. But I'm a baseball guy at heart, and there's nothing better than seeing your baseball. I mean, I've been there, man. I've been through those locker rooms. I've been, you know, there in 14 and 15. I was in New York when the Royals won that World Championship. It's better than anything that I've seen on the football. It just is. The city's just different when your baseball team wins. And that's no knock against football because, quite frankly, I could have done 4 hours on the Chiefs today and been very happy with that as well because they're so special and everything's wonderful. But that baseball, for me, that's my sport. It always has been. Mm-hmm. It's always been my number one sport.
Were there more people at the Royals parade or the Chiefs parade?
Royals.
Do you think the weather is the excuse? Yeah,
could you have a more perfect day for that Royals parade?
No, it was like 60 degrees and sunny in November.
Yeah, I think it was actually 78 that day.
It is
day.
Nice.
Because we were sweating walking those 4 miles.
We were able to walk, I know that.
But no, it was the first one.
Yeah,
and the first one is always the best, right? Like, you never forget that first one. How many times do you see that blue picture, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the weather's been bad for the Chiefs, like cold and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that day, we had not seen a championship parade in 29 years. Everybody was going to that parade.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do something once and you do it again, you're like, I've been there, done that. So the crowd's kind of dwindling that. But if the Royals win a championship this year, I guarantee you that parade is going to be a sick, sick, sick beast of a parade, man.
Well, what's your answer, Dusty?
To what?
50-yard line or home plate game 7?
Game 7.
Okay.
It's close.
Yeah, that's fair.
There'd be a lot of...
Did you say ALCS or World Series?
ALCS.
Okay, so it is the same.
ALCS,
it's not the Super Bowl or the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd still rather be a Game 7 of the World Series versus the Super Bowl because it's home.
And I've been to both.
Well, that's different. Yeah, that's fair. That's different.
I've been to playoff games, and I've been to NFL and baseball playoff games. I've been to both. When they clinched in the ALCS against Baltimore, or I guess that was the DS. Was that the DS? Yeah, it was the DS.
No, that was the CS. Yeah, and they won the because everybody forgets we played Anaheim. Yeah.
When my dad and I went and watched the Royals win the pennant, I felt like I was in a movie. Like that's how I felt because everybody was waving a white towel. Everybody was just kind of like standing there, like in shock and awe, like holy cow, we're going to the World Series.
Right.
Like as a fan base, like we're all going to be able to like enjoy this. And I think that was one of those moments where, I mean, obviously I was prisoner of the moment, is winning the pennant and you're with your father. You know, you can't really take that away. And it's just kind of like looking at it and be like, we actually did it. Like we went from always losing 100 games to being in this position.
Yeah.
So very awesome. And I can't wait for tonight. And I really, really, really expect a loud, loud, loud ruckus crowd at the K. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Matt Cotrero, our friend of the show and manager of your Kansas City Royals. But coming up next here on Fesco and Dusty, we talk about Salvador Perez and his rank. We asked Tim Kirkshen about it. I'm interested to know what the people think. This is 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I'll tell you what, you may be waking up this morning with some arthritis pain and you're thinking, boy, I can't even walk up the stairs anymore. My knees hurt. I can't play golf anymore. My shoulder hurts, or I just can't even bend over because my back hurts. Well, you don't have to keep living with all of that joint pain. Relief is possible with help from QC Kinetics. And people in Kansas City are getting their lives back, getting their mobility back, all thanks to QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in cellular therapies that can revitalize your joints. I'm talking about advanced regenerative medicine, using your own body's healing properties, highly concentrated and carefully placed in your achy joint. Back pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, these are cutting-edge treatments that require no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. In fact, it's a quick in-office procedure that can get you moving again. These protocols have been developed by medical professionals and under the leadership of Dr. Mitchell Scheinkup, a former orthopedic surgeon and pioneer in clinical regenerative medicine. Is arthritis pain keeping you from doing the things you love? That pain in your knees, the hips, the back, the joint, the shoulders, all of that? Well, you owe it to yourself to learn more. So call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
Brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete, online at GannAsphalt.com. New trouble in Olathe, 35 northbound slows approaching Old 56 Highway with an accident on the left shoulder. As we check that out on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras, very close to the left lane. Folks are slowing down. Looking to transform your business's property, noticing crumbling curbs, uneven sidewalks, parking lot potholes, or faded striping? Gann Asphalt and Concrete makes your project a streamlined process with one contractor. All things parking lot, Gann Asphalt and Concrete, online at GannAsphalt.com. Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan, traffic. 1985, we came alive with the wind, we put the birds right back in the pit. Yeah. 2014, left the sour map bum, and now it's 2015, and we're back and we're coming. Straight out the cross, man, straight off the block, man. Got Johnny and the Z, man, straight going off, man. Salvador, Salvador, where you at? Welcome back in. It's the end of the 8 o'clock hour. I mean, I'll tell you what,
it's
fellas,
flying today, brother, right?
I was already ready to do Ben Maller today.
It's already Thursday.
And we'll have Ben Maller on the show tomorrow. Ben's pennies. I'm interested to know about that story a little bit more. I'll explain more about that tomorrow when we have Ben Maller on the show, and we'll have Royals manager Matt Cotrero. He'll join us in about 10 minutes. You want to hear from him, the Royals manager, as we get ready for Yanks and Royals tonight, 6:08. Hear all the action on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Vern joined us earlier. If you missed it, go check out the podcast. Tim Kirkshen joined the show earlier.
He said unanimous selection for Aaron Judge's MVP.
He did.
You know what that means tonight. Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt's dominating.
I hope so. We also asked him a question because we thought about this as a group. Can Salvador Perez surpass George Brett as the greatest Royal ever? And I think the answer is obviously no.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, usually you have recency bias, right? Oh, yeah, of course you can. I mean, we had a call or a text, maybe it was, within the last year. And somebody said they don't really know who George Brett was. And, you know, Kling and I were like, what? You know, like, what do you mean you don't know who George Brett was? The guy's like, I'm in my 30s. I don't really know anything about George Brett. And we're like, okay, maybe we are getting further and further removed. But if you're a baseball fan, George Brett, in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this because he's a friend, he's one of, and you can make the case for him to be one of the top five baseball players in the history of this game. When you start really looking at, nobody's won a batting title in three decades, right? I mean, nobody's pushing 400 like George was and this late in the baseball. And I mean, just an amazing, amazing baseball player that as time goes on, you start to forget about the old timers. George Brett is one of those old timers that you can never forget about because he was not only better than everybody else, he was the best of his era. And I do believe one of the top five baseball players of all time. And so for Salvi to get to that number, I mean, he's going to have to do some amazing things. I mean, just amazing things to ever pass George Brett. And maybe Bobby Witt ends up passing George. I just think Salvi at 34 years old, most of his career is already finished. You know,
I think the toughest part about it is that Salvador Perez is probably a top 100 baseball player of all time, maybe.
Maybe.
And George Brett's a top 10.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, yeah, the three batting titles, and I was asking Cody and Gold this question because I was cutting this Tim Kirkshen answer that I'm playing here in a little bit about what he thinks. And I was like, can Sal ever surpass George? And they're like, nah. Like, Alex Mealy eating Cheerios raw goes, nah. Not a chance.
Yeah.
And he's like, three batting titles. Like, okay, but let me throw this out there. Let's say the Royals won a World Series again this year and Salvador Perez is World Series MVP. Is that enough?
No.
And they still were like, I don't think so. Because like of what George's legacy is, which I don't disagree. I think George will always be number one, but there's a chance he could be number two, and it's Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, it's Bobby Witt Jr. definitely has a chance. Like, if he continues to do what he's done, and George will even tell you at that point in time, George wants somebody to be better. Like, he was so happy when they won in 15, because like, finally, somebody else, I don't have to talk about 85 anymore, right?
Right.
And so he was able to pass that torch and you know, give Hosmer and the guys the ability to celebrate their championship and be the best Royals team, as George said, of all time. Do yourself a favor, if you haven't already, go watch the George Brett documentary on MLB Network that came out this year.
Good.
Because even me, who's a baseball dork and older and can appreciate the past because I lived, I watched that and got a whole new appreciation for George Brett as well. Can't cook a steak, I'll tell you that. Let Jackson handle the steaks. But it was just a great, great, great look into his career. And I think this is the time now that the Royals are good again, that I think the younger generation, like Max age in your 20s and early 30s, if you don't really know much about George Brett, go watch that documentary, because you'll walk away and go, oh my God, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, George Brett did things in baseball that we've never seen before.
This was Kirkshen's response: if Sal could ever surpass George, the all-time Royal.
No, he can't. And I love Salvador Perez, and I think he will be a Hall of Famer someday. But George Brett is the greatest Royal ever. And at this moment, there is not a close second. I mean, what we watched from George Brett in the mid-70s and through the 80s and into the 90s, he won a batting title in three different decades. I'm just not sure anyone's going to pass him. And let's not forget the way that George Brett played the game. He played the game the right way. So does Salvador Perez also. But I watched George Brett, and I think George Brett would hit 330, 350 today. That's how good he would be if he played today. But back then, he was a dominant player at a time when the game was played differently than today. But sorry, he's the greatest Royal ever. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Robert Saleh did speak about him getting fired.
He did?
He did.
To who? Did he hold a press conference in his driveway?
Nope, he did a statement. He says, to the Jets organization, I am grateful to have the opportunity to work with so many incredible people. I will always be appreciative of the love and support from everyone at One Jets Drive. To all the players, I truly love you and appreciate it. Aaron Rodgers, though, can kiss my ass.
I made up that last part.
I'm not making this up. Your manager of the Royals, Matt Cotrero, will join us on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.